before we get started and what I feel like God's put in my heart, this past week I've really felt a dread. Not a dread in a bad sense necessarily, but just realizing the liability that sits right here. It used to be said, it is a fearful thing to preach the Word of God. I don't know how many people sense a fear in preaching these days. And I feel like too often in my own times of sharing, I felt too comfortable just coming up here and sharing some random things. It's not necessarily bad. But up here is where we have congregational instruction for good or for bad, in a way that brings truth to light or brings deception, in a way that brings comfort and peace, both in the way of holiness and in the way, potentially, of sin. This is where doctrine is taught. This is where clarification of Scripture, hopefully, is made. This is where exhortation happens. And as I pondered those things, I just realized how much the Word of God is not respected and revered and not taught like it ought to be. I'm not saying necessarily here, but in the church at large. So my heart's full with that today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we just come to you wanting your truth, wanting to walk with you, wanting to be taught of you, to grow more in your love and have a greater hunger and thirst for you. Would you bless us this day? Would your Spirit abide with us? God, we need you. We need you, God. Thank you so much for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is one of those days I don't have my handkerchief. All right. So, we're here in the book of John. Again, I pondered whether or not we would just continue on here. I don't want to just get up and be like, okay, well, John's just my thing. But I prayed a lot about if God had a different message that I should bring this morning. And honestly, I didn't feel anything. And as I looked here through John 3, I realized how much is in this passage. And hours and hours have been preached. Thank you so much, brother. Hours have been shared on this chapter. And I'm not going to even try to dig into all that's here. But this morning I'm going to try to get through verses 1 through 21. There is a lot here. There are three key words, I feel like, in the book of John. Light, life, and believe. And I want you to just note, again, those three words and see how often they appear in this section. So let's begin reading. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night to said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We don't have a lot of writing material about who Nicodemus is, but of all the characters in the Bible outside of the apostles, including the Apostle Paul and Jesus, we actually have a fair amount of Nicodemus. We see him here in John 3, we see him later in John 7, and also when Jesus was crucified in John, I think, 19. So we have three pictures of him, and we'll see him here. It'd be interesting to do a character study of Nicodemus. I'm not going to do that this morning, but I will give you a brief picture of who he is. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, an elite Israelite who thought himself pretty high up there. From historical records, we read that he was one of the top three richest men in Jerusalem. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a master teacher. He wasn't just a teacher, but he was a teacher of teachers. This Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Could be for secrecy. Could be that Jesus, being swamped by multitudes throughout the day, had little spare time. So Nicodemus came to him where most people had already gone to bed or went their way. In either case, this teacher, this elite Israelite, had questions. He knew the law. He probably had all, if not most, of the Old Testament memorized. I'm sure he was meticulous in how he kept the law. As far as Old Testament standards went, this guy probably had it all. People probably looked at Nicodemus as a rich man and thought, this man is obviously blessed by God because he's so rich. You know, riches are often acquainted with God's blessing on his life. So why would he have need of Jesus? He was following the law. I'm sure he had his sacrifices he made. He was careful with his rituals. He had it all together. Now here he comes, and he gives a statement to Jesus. Rabbi, teacher, we know. I don't know if it's talking about just himself or if he knows of a small group of people, but we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It reminds me of later in John 9 where the blind man was healed and the Pharisees said, you know, we follow Moses, you're this guy's disciple. And he says, you know, we know that this man is a sinner. And the blind man said, nowhere have we ever heard of a man that was blind being healed. I should just read that lest I just butcher this terribly. So John 9, verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where he comes from. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Nicodemus, earlier on here, is saying, we know that you come from God because no man has ever done these miracles that you are doing. It's interesting how Jesus kind of just ignored that statement, and he saw what Nicodemus wanted. Nicodemus sought this man because he knew he was of God. And Nicodemus knew that Messiah was coming, that God had promised this Messiah. I'm sure he was looking for him, and he knew that he didn't have it all together. The Pharisees were very hypocritical. Paul, also later on, after he was born again, he realized all that was part of his old life, and he said he counted it as dung. Jesus saw that there was this hungering happening in Nicodemus, and he says to him, "Truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, all these things you're doing are not going to allow you to see the kingdom of God. Often in my own life, if I'm feeling pretty proud, like I know a lot, and somebody, you know, says something that I don't fully understand, I might just nod in my head and say, yeah, like I understand it. Have you ever done that? Nicodemus could have been like, yeah, except a man be born again. That's good. That's a good word. And gone home thinking, what was he saying? But here he's humble enough to say, Jesus, this sounds pretty dumb, okay? I realize. But how can a man, when he's old, be born again a second time? How does this work? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. There are, as I mentioned already before, many people have taught from this chapter, and people have different views, okay? The Calvinists say that birth is something that happens whether you are forward or not. You have no control over it. When you're born of the Spirit, you're born. I had no choice when my mother gave birth to me to say, no, actually, I don't want to be born, okay? I don't think that is correct. In verse 5, we see, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. I grew up believing or being taught that means a natural birth and a spiritual birth. Others teach that you have to be born again of the Spirit and through baptism. So there's different ways people have taught this. One that I feel like, to me, makes sense, Nicodemus, having known the Scripture, probably understood what Jesus was saying, or should have understood, by this reference to Ezekiel, verse 36, 25. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. 25 to 27. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So there you see the picture of water and of the Spirit. I'm not going to say today which of the three is all correct. I don't think that Jesus was necessarily saying, well, Nicodemus, first, you have to exist, because that was just already a given. And was he talking about baptism? Maybe. I don't really think so. I personally think he's referring back to Ezekiel. We could discuss that later. But for this context, we'll just refer back to Ezekiel. He goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Here, already, we have the works of the flesh happening. In the next chapter here, in John 4, we see Jesus talking to the woman in Samaria, and she tells Jesus, you know, "You Jews say we need to worship in Jerusalem, you know, but we're worshiping on this mountain." Jesus halts her there and says, there's coming a day when it's not going to be on this mountain or in Jerusalem that we're going to worship the Father, but it's going to be in spirit and in truth. So Nicodemus, all these rituals, the sacrifices, all those fleshly works, those are not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. You need to be born of the Spirit. We are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." You know, don't be astounded. Don't let this stumble you. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'd like to read that to you in the New Living Translation. To me, it made it a little bit more clear. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus, don't try to get all scientific here and figure this thing out. People are born of the Spirit, and it's not something that you can explain. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He is still just completely baffled. No clue. Again, I feel like we're seeing a glimpse into humility here in Nicodemus' character. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I can almost see Jesus' heart being let down here. If the master of Israel, where God's light was shown, if the master teacher doesn't grasp this, how is anybody else? Nicodemus, you spent your whole life studying the law. You know what God has shared. You know what the prophets have said. And you don't understand that God wants a transformed heart. He doesn't want a reworking of the flesh. He wants that old man to be done away with. He wants all things to become new. You don't understand this. Jesus goes on to say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. This we puzzled me, and I thought about it for a long time. A couple days. What is this we? I tried to figure out what the Greek word might be, but I just gave up on that. And I think it could be the Godhead. He shared through the Old Testament. It could be Jesus and John the Baptist. It could be Jesus and the prophets. You know, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. All these things God has revealed. Jesus himself revealing. And ye receive not our witness. Going back to John 1, Jesus came to his own, right? And his own received him not. Just this continual pattern of Israel rejecting and not receiving God's witness. If I have told you earthly things of birth and of the wind, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Nicodemus, you're tripping up over 1 plus 1. How am I going to explain X minus 2, you know, all this algebraic formula? You're not going to get it. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus was the most qualified to share these things with Nicodemus. No man had gone to heaven and came back and said, this is how it works. All we had was the light that God revealed through the prophets, but now God himself came down and is sharing how we are born of the Spirit. So he goes on to say, Nicodemus, let me continue to explain how this works. Remember the story of Moses in the wilderness, I think in the book of Numbers. They were complaining, children of Israel, and God sent serpents. And the serpents bit the Israelites, and they were dying. Moses cried out to God. God said, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole. And whoever looks at that pole in faith, believing God will heal them, my words, but I think in light of it, true, they will be healed. Just like that, Nicodemus, the Son of Man, referring back to the book of Daniel, will be lifted up. That whosoever, and Nicodemus, I'm going to shock you a little further since you're baffled anyway, I'll just keep shocking you. Not just Israelites, not just the seed of Abraham. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. And it's not God so loved the world so much, but rather God loved the world in this way. This is how he loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that again, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, do you want to know how to enter the kingdom of God? You must be born again. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And how do you do that? It's by looking on him who's lifted up. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It wasn't in anger and in judgment that Jesus came. He could have. And I warn you, he will come again. The second time, it will be in judgment. But this first time, God showed his love. His love is revealed to us. And he gave his life for us, that the world wouldn't be condemned, but that it would be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This isn't just an acknowledging, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus came from God. I believe in God. It's more than that. It's being born anew. But you know what? Not everyone believes. There are those who believe, and there are those who believe not. And this is the condemnation. You know what condemns us? This is what it is. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There are those who see the light and reject it because they love their sin more than the light. There are those who don't want to see any hints of light, lest their deeds should be reproved. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. It's not that they just can't tolerate, they hate it. Why was Jesus crucified? They couldn't bear that he was speaking judgment over their sin. And if they did that to the master, if they condemned and slew him, what will they do to the servants who are also bearing light? Are we not the light of the world? Men love darkness rather than light. I'll be blunt with you this morning. That if you have seen light and you're rejecting it, condemnation is upon you. And woe to the person who has had clear light, who has the scripture before them, who has heard the word of God and yet rejects it. Shame. There are those who have never heard and will be condemned because they didn't believe. How much more so we who have everything for us and yet reject Christ. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And this verse convicted me, because it shouldn't be, but there are things in my life that I don't like to just share. I'd prefer that they were kept dark. And I feel like too many of us are in that place. We don't want to come to the light. We want to, but we're scared because of either our reputation or our pride. Or maybe we just love the sin just enough to keep us from the light, that we don't come to the light. But when we come to the light, our deeds are made manifest. And when they are wrought in God, there is no shame, no fear of judgment. Here I am, Lord. Search me and try me. Know my heart. If you see a wicked way in me, take it out. purge me with hyssop. All these verses, these psalms that David wrote from his iniquity, realized, Lord, I have sinned. Here I am. I will come to the light. Cleanse me. 1 Timothy talks about those who have, they realize the sin is upon them. They've sent their sins before to judgment. They've been born again. They've come to the light. Those deeds are made manifest. Those evil works God has forgiven them. He has washed them clean. And when they stand before God, it is without shame. And there are those who do not send their sins to judgment beforehand. And when they stand before God, it will be with fear and trembling, because they know the guillotine is waiting for them, and rightly so. We don't read Nicodemus' response to this. It was at night, and I wonder if Nicodemus slept when he got home. Just confused. And I wonder if he spent time praying, God, help me understand this. He knew Jesus came from God. Here was where the answer was. How can I enter the kingdom of God? You have to be born again. Born again? What does that mean? Unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Unless God sprinkles clean water over you and takes out your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, you will not see the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter into it. See works of the flesh going on? It's because you're born of the flesh. There are those who have the works of the Spirit going on. They're born of the Spirit. If you're born of the flesh, you're going to have fleshly works. Born of the Spirit, you're going to have spiritual works. So if you're confused this morning over whether you're born of the Spirit or the flesh, one test you could do is, what is flowing out of my life? How does this work? Nicodemus, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. 1 Timothy also tells us that it is Christ's wish, it's His desire, that all men should be saved. But why aren't everyone saved? There are those who teach that in the end, everybody's going to be saved. Well, that's wrong. That is heresy. It's not true. Those who come to the light will be saved. Those who continue to hide in the shadows of the rocks and mountains will have those rocks and mountains fall on them, and they shall be damned. Well, I hope that this morning you are either blessed or shaken. I'm both, because I feel like I need to live a life that is open. No hypocrisy. No shame in anything. And we are fleshly, as in we live in the flesh, but let's walk in the Spirit. Thank you.